Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. And in this session, we're looking at Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. A Christian can be happy. Let's read those verses. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for they so persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the second part of it, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7 is usually referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. It begins with these 8 declarations about Jesus Christ's disciples that have become known as the Beatitudes. A Beatitude is a comment on happiness. They are declarations on what makes a follower of Jesus happy in life. These are not types of Christians, but progressive stages of spiritual growth. When you enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God enters you. And these principles will lead you to a fulfilled life. If you desire to enjoy a fruitful, fulfilled Christian life, first of all, you need to see your spiritual poverty. Verse 3, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is the beginning of the journey. Salvation. Apart from God's grace, you have no, zero spiritual value. Poor in spirit. It equals bankrupt spiritually. In other words, your spiritual account is empty. You have nothing to offer God spiritually. If a person is to be saved, he must be aware of his utter lost state and his hopelessness apart from Christ. The kingdom of God is given to those who become conscious of their own spiritual poverty. Second, you need to grieve over your sins. Verse 4, Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourn about your sins, because they sent Jesus Christ to the cross. The consideration of our sin should produce a brokenness within us for having failed the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Isaiah chapter 40 verses 1 and 2, Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out for her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And third, so you need to grieve over your sins. Third, you need to exercise self-control. Verse 5, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness is the opposite of being out of control. It's not weakness. but it's spirit-powered self-control. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 speaks about spirit control, spirit empowerment. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The idea is submission to the Spirit's leadership through the Word of God. Psalm 37 and verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. See, Satan has the earth for now. He gained it because of Adam's sin, and it is passed down all the way to this day. Satan has the earth for now, but Christ will take it back one day. Fourth, you need to yearn for spiritual food. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You see, desiring to plead, to be pleasing to the Lord, that it's so intense, it produces a drive like that of satisfying physical hunger and thirst. It's the opposite of self-righteousness. The self-righteousness of the Pharisees. It's seeking God's righteousness rather than your own. It's the contrast of Romans chapter 10 and verse 3 and Philippians chapter 3 verse 9, both of which are written by the Apostle Paul. Romans 10:3, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Philippians 3:9 says, found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, like the Pharisees, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. The fruit of the Spirit will manifest, or it won't. And fifth, you need to be actively kind. Look at verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Actively kind. This is identification with Jesus Christ. The merciful will receive mercy. And the opposite is also true. James 2:13. Judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. And six, you need to have a single focus. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart. That means being cleansed from your sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For they shall see God, not only as it relates to faith, but also in the glory of heaven itself. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, which without which no one will see the Lord. Revelation 22, verses 3 and 4. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. And then seventh, you need to be a peacemaker. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The issue here, it's not peace in the world, but helping sinners be reconciled to God. True peace is found in Christ alone. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. being a peacemaker does not have to do with your enemies. Excuse me. Being a peacemaker does have to do with your enemies, but not as you may think. Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 and 45. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Jesus died, listen, for your enemies as well, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Notice, it's the same promise. And then eighth, you need to experience wrong for the right reason. Do you hear me? You need to experience wrong for the right reason. Look at verses 10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. It must be undeserved. If you're going to be persecuted, if you're going to experience wrong, it has to be undeserved. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. For what credit is it if, when you're beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. The key is right there in verse 23. Persecution is the lot of those who are committed to spiritual growth. When he reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. 2 Timothy 3:12 states it clearly. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus promised that you will be fruitful, fulfilled, happy in the Lord. Well, let me ask you, where are you in these stages of spiritual growth? And let me ask you, right now, at this moment, will you pursue a committed life in Christ? Will you do that? You have a great day.